Greetings, my brothers and sisters. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask for guidance. Let our lips, Lord, express the will of God and not the will of men. May thy spirit be upon us this morning and touch my brothers and sisters who may hear the message, the daily devotion that we are presenting today. That's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Yesterday, we took a little scripture out of John chapter 10 and also John chapter 11. We talked about the Pharisees and the scribes who were accusing Jesus Christ of calling himself God. Well, we know according to John chapter 5, verse 19, that Jesus never expressed himself as God Almighty. But he was not ashamed to say to the people, your sins are forgiven, or be healed, stand up and walk, see, and stuff like that. Because inside him was the fullness of the Godhead. That means the Holy Spirit in him without measure. We people that are sinners and born according to the standards of the first Adam, we will receive the Spirit of God according to measure, according to Romans chapter 12, verse 3 and up. But Jesus Christ, when it is written in the scriptures in John chapter 3, he don't give him the Spirit according to measure. So therefore, Jesus had it in its fullness. And fullness to that expression is really that Jesus Christ had all what he needed, the tools to redeem the world back to God Almighty. What the first Adam failed in doing and brought the whole world into corruption by disobedience. Jesus Christ, he reversed this and turned it around because he was obedient in all things and he never caved in to any lust or desire of his own. He just said, I can do nothing of my own self. Only what the Father shows me is what I'm doing. So we're actually talking about a communication that is invisible. Jesus Christ is walking around there and he is in communication with the Father at all times. And therefore, whenever he says something, that means he is now the tool in God's hand to fulfill the purpose that he was sent for. Then he speaks it out, but he doesn't explain it to everyone that now I'm going to talk what the Father tells me to say. He just says it. And that's the way the Lord Jesus Christ operated most of the times. Sometimes he opened up to the disciples that it is the Father inside me speaking, and I and the Father am one. That means we have the same thought, the same mission. I am here to accomplish what the Father made me, created me to do, according to Revelation 3:14. We mentioned on that also, he was the beginning of the creation of God. And remember now, God cannot be the beginning of creation because he's eternal. He has no beginning. He's always been. But Jesus Christ, he had a start. And to explain a little why Jesus was expressing what he said in John chapter 10. When they accused him of being God. Then Jesus said, but isn't it like this? The words that are sent out by God through the person, through the individual, through the vessel, through the instrument, they become as gods. And this is what Jesus actually was expressing when he spoke to the Pharisees. But they were not used to the thought that Jesus was using, because the only way that they understood God was through the Torah, by reading. Remember, we are all told to study and read the scriptures. And the scriptures, they are true. But behind the scriptures, there is a spirit. And when you open up your Bible and you start reading a passage of the Bible, then the Spirit of the Father sees what you are reading. And the Holy Spirit then is the one that are inspiring you so that you can understand what is written there. But if you only do the reading, memorizing, and stuff like that, of course you can memorize and say good words that are accurate and polite because they are the scriptures. But if you don't have the Spirit to enlighten you, you will still walk in a so-called darkness. Remember what we said in John chapter 11? They that walk in the daylight, they don't stumble. And it was not the sunshine, but it was the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit using and operating your life for the benefit of the people around you. So therefore, and walking in the night is actually walking without a vision or a revelation or without a thus said the Lord. Okay, let's go back to the Old Testament. I want to read from Exodus chapter 4, verse 10 to 17. And we will read a little story here that might enlighten what Jesus meant when he spoke in John chapter 10 about gods. I'll read from verse 10. And Moses said unto Jehovah, O Lord, I am not eloquent, neither theretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, for I am slow of speech and a slow tongue. And Jehovah said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh man dumb, or deaf, or seeing, or blind? Is it not I, Jehovah? Know therefore, go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt speak. Very clearly, verse 11 and 12 start up a communication that is unique. Then verse 13, and he said, O Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand on whom you will send. And the anger of Jehovah was kindled against Moses, and he said, is there not Aaron, thy brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he sees thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak to him, and put the words in his mouth. Remember now, here in verse 15, it's a unique saying. And if you reflect on what I'm saying, this is the dialogue that God is doing with Moses. God speaks to Moses, and Moses becomes the mouth of God. All right? Verse 15. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put the words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall say. Verse 15 here really tells us this is the way God communicates with man and through man. Verse 16. And here is the clue. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people. And it shall come to pass that he shall be to thee a mouth, and thou shalt be to him as God. And thou shalt take in thy hand his rod, wherewith thou shalt do the signs. So here in verse 16 and 17, God is speaking. He is the one who is telling Moses that when you are uttering your words will be as God is speaking. And of course, it's inspiration, but the people around, they don't see the inspirational part. They only see the mouthpiece standing there speaking like a God. And if you connect that to John chapter 10, then you got a clue to what Jesus meant when he says, the ones that the words comes to, they become as gods. All right. And let's read on. Now we'll jump to another chapter. It's Exodus chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. Here we have the communication again, where God is speaking to Moses. And he says here, and Jehovah said unto Moses, see, I have made thee as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Look here. What does God tell Moses? He says, I have made thee as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet, and thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he let the children of Israel go out of this land. My Lord, when I read that little scripture here, even Jehovah, remember now, when I say God or Jehovah, remember, God is the Elohim, El, Elyon. And Jehovah is the expression, that's the channel that God is using to communicate with man. And of course, the communication line is through the angelic world. The angels, you can read in the story of Gideon, there was an angel sitting under a tree and watching Gideon. Then the angel spoke, and Gideon heard the voice of that angel. And through the conversation, then the angelic word changed to the Lord, and the Lord, Jehovah, said. So here you have vessels, you have angelic beings, they're speaking the mind of God because they are instructed to communicate to this world, to the human race, so that we can know what is going on, what the plans are for this earth, the beginning all the way to the end. But we have now used two different scriptures, Exodus chapter 4 from verse 10 to 17, and Exodus chapter 7 verse 1 and 2. And we have established a way of thinking that when God inspires a person to help or tell something, prophesying, warning, or whatever it is, then God will use that tool as a miniature God. It will be as if God himself is speaking. And that is what we call inspiration. So when Jesus spoke to the Pharisees, and he said, isn't it like this? When the word of the Lord comes out to a person, then they become as gods. It's the expression that is God. Remember, the vessel itself is not God, but the inspirational part is God. And since God started with Adam, the first Adam, and he knew that it would take thousands of years to fulfill the plan that God had, and we are still in the fulfillment part of it. We are at the end of the 6,000 years of human history. And we're very close to go into the 7,000 year that would be called the millennium age. And when God is going to express himself to show his will, then when he creates a man, like he created Adam, and then you have Abel, you have Cain, you have Seth, and up through the years till you come to Noah, it was almost 1600 years till Noah went into the ark. And in that time that is used for God to create and let the human race multiply to replenish the earth, there need to be someone growing up among the human race that can express the will of God. If God closed down, if he put mortality into Adam and said, I'm done with you. You disobeyed me, I'm going to leave you here. I push you out of the Garden of Eden, and there's no way I'm going to say anything more. I'll just let the human race go by. Hey, then the human race would decay. It would never have the understanding of the plan and the will of God. And that's the problem. Therefore, when God saw that man needed inspiration, man needed tools so that they could have faith, so that they could build up an understanding that the reason for us to live here is actually to be able to live eternally. But for us to do that, then we will also have to have some instructions on the road. And the Lord saw, if you look upon mountains and valleys, we have ups and we have downs. Then God looked at the history of man. Of course, it was only history in God's mind, because he created us all before the foundation of the world. But when he was going through the plan of the 7,000 years, he saw the ups and downs, and he saw the decay of the mental mind of men. And therefore, in his mercy, he said, I will bring them saviors. I will inspire people that will put a touch in their lives so that they can spark up an ignition again that, oh, we're walking towards eternity and God is with us. Therefore, the Lord, in his great plan, made sections in the different times where he wanted to put in a little vessel, a little God. I hope that you understand that I'm not here to make plural gods, lots of gods. That's not my intention. But I am here to tell you that God, when he inspires people to convey his will, then he is also there to present himself as a God in and through their lips. So let us read Judges chapter 2, verse 10 to 23. We can read here, and it said, "And also all that generation were gathered to their fathers. There rose another generation after them that knew not Jehovah, nor yet the work which he had wrought for Israel." So here he tells me in Judges chapter 2 that when Moses dies, when Joshua dies, when the men, the tools that God have been using as instruments to inspire the nation, when they die out, then after a while, the ignition, the spark of what they said dims, fades out, so that they have nothing to hold on to anymore. Of course, they still got, like we still got the Bible. We can read all the stories of the Bible, and that's wonderful. But if we don't have a vision, if we don't have a dream, if we don't have a thus said the Lord into our hearts, then we will slow down, our vision will be dim, and finally we will become just a sleeping element of people that don't know what to do. So here in this scripture, it shows us that after the men of God, after that generation that has seen so much through their fathers, there was another generation coming after them that did not know the Lord. They didn't understand what was going on. Hey, they had the history. They could repeat going through the Red Sea, being in the wilderness and fed for 40 years. But it wasn't them anymore. They had no way to understand by experience what the former generation had. So therefore, in verse 11, after a while, after years, the children of Israel did that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah, and they started to serve Balaam, other gods, and they forsook Jehovah, the God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the peoples that were round about them, and bowed themselves down unto them, and they provoked Jehovah to anger. Well, to serve Balaam and serve other gods. Remember, God has always said, there is only one God. And everything that people call a God outside Jehovah himself is not a God. It's just a tool. It's just a thought. And people start imagining things that are not real. Hey, they can touch them, because they make sculptures, they make pictures, and in the days of Israel, in the wilderness, when Moses was upon the mountain to receive the law, then the people made a golden calf. And they said, this is our God that will lead us on. Well, what a stupid way to look at things when they have had God Almighty showing by inspiration what he is capable of doing. And no, they want a brass or a gold statue to lead them on. So therefore, when they saw that, I'll just read verse 13 to 15 here. And they forsook Jehovah and served Baal and Astaroth. And the anger of Jehovah was kindled against Israel. And he delivered them into the hands of the spoilers that despoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithsoever they went out, the hand of Jehovah was against them for evil, as Jehovah had spoken, and as Jehovah had sworn unto them, and they were sore distressed. Brothers and sisters, when I read that part, I'll say, without vision, the people are in distress, and they just stretches like a rubber string. A rubber string can be stretched wider and wider, and you can allow yourself to do more and more things that are worldly-like. But at the end of it, the rubber band cannot be stretched any further, and it will break. And what then, when you cannot tie it together? Therefore, when God is seeing that it takes time for the people to be able to understand the will of God, and when that time is out, they don't see it anymore, then they start their own ways. And God knows that, and that is the reason that he'll say, I will put in another chapter, another session, and I will wake up the nation again so that they will serve me. Brothers and sisters, that's the end of today's little lesson. I hope that you can still follow the thought that I'm telling here. And we'll go on tomorrow to see the continuation of it. May the Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, grant my brothers and sisters an understanding on how you done things all through the ages, and that you will complete the mission, fulfill what you promised in the beginning, because you are the beginning and the end of all things. Help us, Lord, to see this part so we don't get distressed or confused when we read the scriptures. That's my prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.